Good morning, back in my forest. It's Brian of London here in the forest in Tel Aviv. Back from traveling, back from Sicily, a lovely time in Sicily and Rome. I put up a little drone video of Sicily on ThreeSpeak. I didn't fly my drone in Rome because it is basically not allowed anywhere there, so just regular photos of Rome. Rome is fascinating. I'm going to tell you a little bit about ThreeSpeak and about the Steam blockchain that I'm spending much more time on. I'll also give you a little update on what's going on with the court case, the massive crypto class action lawsuit. Not much I can say about that, but I'll give you some details. But so, yeah, Sicily was interesting. Horrible delays to get there because Israel's budget airline, or the El Al budget thing, kept us waiting in Tel Aviv for, I don't know, 6 hours delay or something like that, because the plane was broken and stopped in Rhodes and they had to find another one. Eventually we left in the middle of the night and all of that. All of those troubles. And there I was thinking about white and Jewish privilege as I sat in the noisy Israeli airport. I tell you, my one complaint, I don't complain much, but Tel Aviv airport has got this central atrium with this big water shower that drops from the ceiling, which looks very nice, but is the most horrible noise imaginable. The place is so loud. When you compare it to modern airports like Terminal 5 in London, or in fact, actually, the Rome airport was gorgeous too. They're quiet places. They've worked to keep the decibel level down. The Tel Aviv airport is just a horrible cacophony. You have to go sit near the gate for it to be quiet. Anyway, Sicily was mostly relaxing. And then we went to Rome with my family. And Rome is... I was in Rome a long time ago. Last time was over 10 years ago. And before that was a trip on a train when I was fresh out of school. Rome, wow. I mean, it's old, like in the way that Jerusalem is, but not quite as old. But, you know, the Roman parts of Rome are obviously, we've got stuff like that here. I can go up the road to Caesarea, and it's very similar in style and structure to what one sees in Rome. Obviously, Rome is much bigger, and we toured the Colosseum, but weather-wise, it was like stonking hot. We did the Vatican as well. Took my kids to the Vatican, which I don't think they were too. Anyway, we went around, they looked at art, but just the sheer volume of stuff that's in that Vatican Museum that they have picked up all around the world. Very similar in a way to the British Empire, but there's no way to look at it. The Holy Roman Empire, Catholicism, the Catholic Church as sort of the center there in the Vatican City in Rome. That was a massive empire. And just one observation, as you go in, you go into the museum, and the first thing they do is that you have to walk up like a corkscrew, not staircase, but just a sloping ramp. They make you walk up this, and it's like 7 or 8 turns to get to the top. I don't know, it's probably some significant number I didn't count. And all the way along the side are boats, ships, sails, oars, nautical stuff. And I'm like, what on earth has this got to do with the Vatican? And I didn't stop and read all the sign, but they were just telling you where these boats were from, or what, and they were models of boats, little boats, canoes, big sailing boats, galleys, the whole thing. And as we get to the top, I'm suddenly like, and they've all... But the common thing is that when they've got sails, they've got a big cross on them. And I finally get to the top and I think, oh, this is the navy which spread the message of Jesus to the world. This is how they brought peace and light to the world. This is how, or in other terms, this is how they made their empire. This is how they conquered the world. And I don't know if that's the intention of the entrance, but that's what I understood. But then, of course, the rest of it is just packed full of just unimaginable artistic treasures of Greek and Roman statues and stuff from all over the places that they conquered because that's what they did. And eventually you get to the Sistine Chapel where you're told to shh and everybody talks and you're told not to take out your phone and video the ceiling. And it's but I tell you, it's a hell of a money spinner. They pack them in there. Anyway, I'm not anti-capitalist, so I don't care what the Catholic Church manages to make from tourists. But yeah, Rome's a fascinating city. Now, let's move on to thoughts about the future of the internet. Big shift. I actually, when I came back, I often, in the past, I've written reviews of places I've stayed on TripAdvisor, like hotel reviews and stuff. I kind of enjoy doing it. It's like a memorandum of where we stayed. This time, though, I put my hotel review on a site called travelfeed.io. And travelfeed.io is part of this thing called the Steam blockchain, which I've spoken about before. The video site where I'm going to place this video later is 3speak.online. That's also built off this Steam blockchain. And TravelFeed just allows you to post travel blogs, and I posted a review. The difference here is that everything on Steam, almost every action you take, if you like something, if you leave a comment, you get rewarded, and the person you're leaving the like for gets rewarded with a little bit of Steam. Now, the cryptocurrency Steam is not one of the most well-known ones. It's in the top 70, I think, of cryptocurrencies by value, by market capitalization. And it's at a very low level at the moment, unfortunately. But this isn't as important as what's going on in the background. What's going on in the background is that TravelFeed and SteamPeak and 3Speak Online, they're all using the Steam blockchain as a kind of decentralized database. What does that mean? Whenever you build a website, you have the data and then you have the front end, the thing that you're going to see. So for most blogs, they're using a program called WordPress. WordPress then has a database behind the scenes that you don't know about, but that all the information is in that database. And usually those two, for small websites, are on the same computer, and it's just one computer. One computer is running my blog. One computer is running Israeli Cool. My blog, brianoflondon.me. In fact, it's running as a subpart of one. It's running on one computer that's also running a bunch of other websites simultaneously. That's how little effort it takes to run. But something like a Facebook is running on many, many, many computers all across the world, but it's running Facebook software with Facebook's database. Only Facebook has all of that centralized information. Now, they'll spread it out over multiple computers and keep them synchronized by some technical magic that I can't even begin to understand. But Facebook has their arms around all the data and all the information. Steam, by contrast, Steam is a database into which anybody can put stuff in and anybody can read stuff out, but it is stored on multiple computers. Last I checked, I don't know, over 200 computers are running Steam all over the world. And they're not in the control of any one company. There's the company that invented Steam, a thing called Steemit, but control and the agreement of how it changes has moved out to what's called a consensus, is that the top people, the people doing most of the work to run the system, get to choose how it changes. This is a fundamental change. I mean, it's like, I know that this is heavy stuff and I'm explaining it maybe to an audience that's not so interested in this, but the reason I'm telling you on this Periscope is I'm trying to work out the language in which I can explain to new people why that represents a shift in how we should use computers and how the internet should be run. So the old model is Facebook with all its computers, or Google with all its computers, and they own everything that goes in and out of their systems. The newer model is Web 3.0, and in this case built on a blockchain system, is a sort of Steam model where Steam is used as a social network. It's doing the same thing as Facebook. Now, Can they onboard a billion users like Facebook? Probably not today, not so quickly. But can it scale up to that level? It looks like it can. It looks like they're doing the right things, they're developing in the right directions to make it usable by many. Certainly, the site on which I put my hotel review, which I'll link to in the description of this post, Travel Feed, it does a really good job of presenting, beautifully presenting what I put into it and what I got out of it. And I'll earn a few bucks from doing that directly to me. I own it. The money comes to me and it's real money. I mean, even if it says I earn $5 in Steam, I really do. Now, if the price of Steam goes down between when I get it, but that's not important, is that at the moment that it's given to me, I can send it to an exchange, I can turn it into real money immediately. Now, that part of the internet is this exchange between cryptocurrencies and real currencies. That came under serious attack in the last year and a half, and it's still under serious attack because governments are scared of that. While very few people are using cryptocurrencies, they didn't take too much notice. But as more and more people have found that they can send money backwards and forwards with incredibly low fees, much lower than PayPal or these other services, the governments have taken an interest. So any site that changes cryptocurrency into real money starts to have to know, it's called KYC, know your customer. They have to know exactly who you are, they have to see a government ID, you have to verify bank accounts and all that sort of stuff. They're making it harder. And that brings us on to, the progress in the big crypto lawsuit. Steam, this blockchain-based social media site, it was built by technology people, by programmers, by developers, not so many marketeers or people well-versed in spreading it, word about it. And I think certainly Steam for the last year and a half was hurt by not being able to, for example, aggressively advertise on Facebook. Say, hey, don't post your nonsense or don't post your status on Facebook. Post it on Steam where you can get rewarded for it. Not that, I think Steam launched very heavily on the idea that you would just make money from writing your Facebook statuses, and that was a mistake. It's like, that shouldn't be the primary, but you should perceive that you own it, you should perceive that it is valued, and you should see some value back. If there's advertising on the website, you should get a much bigger stake in the revenue generated by that advertising. And that's what Facebook does not return in any way to you people, the users, the people who put their information to Facebook. You get no value back. Now, someone asked the question, Brian, what's to stop Google buying it up though? Nothing, actually. That's one of the things, is that one of these, Facebook or Google could, if they wanted to, they could buy in a heartbeat, they could buy control. Now, they could buy control of some of the smaller cryptocurrencies. Steam is a bit more interesting because Steam uses a system called proof of stake. A vast investment by one of them would cause issues. But there's stuff going on behind the scenes to do with witnesses and the distributed nature of the system that maybe it could resist that. I don't know. But we're in this tense phase between whether the new internet, this Web 3.0 distributed systems, whether they can face down and challenge Facebook and Google. And my personal feeling, and the reason why I'm involved in our crypto class action, is that absent some kind of external pressure, like our lawsuit, or maybe legislation, but I prefer our lawsuit, these Facebook and Google, Twitter to a certain extent, but not so much, they are too powerful. They have grown too powerful. We need some way to at least stop them crushing opposition, which has not happened before. Out in America, certainly, they've been allowed to crush opposition. We'll see whether our case in Australia is the one that lets us strike a blow and transfer this value to the new systems. But certainly for my part, look, I'm talking on Periscope right now, which is a Twitter product. I use Twitter. I'm doing Twitter to bring people to ThreeSpeak, which is where I'm posting my videos. But I've toned down my use of YouTube dramatically. I'm off Facebook, obviously, because they deleted me. I'll probably close my Instagram account soon. I'm using these tools as much as I have to or can right now in order to keep my profile at a level that's useful for what we're doing. Finally, just to update you, you know, our lawsuit, we haven't stopped work on it. We're working very much to secure the technical funding to go forward, and I can't really say to, but we're in good negotiations. We're happy with the way it's going. We don't need more publicity right now. We're not looking for more publicity, but we are still getting active signups. People are finding us. People are joining the lawsuit. People are understanding that their businesses were affected by what these tech giants did to them. So it is progressing. Hopefully we'll have some big news to announce in the next few weeks, but some of it you just have to keep close to your chest. It's been very busy. Anyway, this video will be first up on ThreeSpeak Online once I'm done with. I like recording live. I like to see the comments. There's no, I don't have another system for that other than Periscope. So I'm Brian of London. Find my website, brianoflondon.me, or find me on Steam as at Brian of London. If you want to join Steam, drop me a line. I'll help you onto the system. Steam's very, very interesting. It's being written off by a lot of the crypto industry, but don't be so sure, because it is doing something different. People are building incredible businesses with the back-end processing being done by this Steam blockchain. Games, travel sites, not basic stuff. Much more interesting. And it's going to be very interesting to see where it leads and what people make use of when they realize that they have a distributed database that they can write to, and that the cost of servicing that infrastructure and the cost of using the infrastructure that other people have set up, it's actually not that great. If you want to use it, you do have to put some money into it. Like, I pay $3 a month or something to ThreeSpeak for my account. But I get many times more back because big people, people with a big stake in Steam, like my videos. So I get paid back more than I put in because I'm a content creator. In effect, the network is valuing my content. And they're going to introduce advertising on ThreeSpeak Online soon. But the vast majority, so they're going to keep some 5% of the revenue instead of 70% of the revenue. The revenue from advertising will come back via Steam straight to me. And that makes a very big difference to the dynamic, if advertising is the way to go. I prefer the value for value model, whereas if you value this, send me some value. Click like on Steam, send me some Steam, send me any crypto you like, see my website. But advertising or value for value, whichever model it is going forward, the creator should be getting the lion's share instead of these middlemen like Facebook and Google, who have just destroyed the publishing industries and taken all of the profits for the last 10 years. All right, Brian of London, almost hoarse. Time to say goodbye from the forest in Tel Aviv.